Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for May 21st, 2023. Lots of 20s in there. Hello, everybody. I realize I never even introduced myself at the beginning of these calls. So I'm Christine Aller, creator of the Creating Cash Flow program, and we are here to coach. I have so many questions today. So many questions. So we are going to speed coach through these. On my game, we're going to do it. And we're going to start with Carolyn Johnson.
Yeah.
Hello, Carolyn. She has a victory. She's a cash flow kitten. She offers comprehensive college advising to students entering college. And she made a video that she sent to a school for a full-time position. She put herself out there in a very classy way that hopefully will get the resume to the top of the pile, because how do you say no to your cute visit saying how great you are? So I'm very, very proud that you did that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I called myself a kitten. I guess I'm more of a cat than a kitten.
But I don't think you're a kitten. Yeah. I think you're a tiger. You've been doing this for quite some time. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you had two questions. The first one is sometimes I offer a brief description and an invoice for platinum unlimited packages, that kind of contract, but otherwise you haven't done other contracts, and you're negotiating with a school for a part-time work as a college consultant, and the job description for that keeps growing, so you're feeling like you're at a standstill. Like you're pulling numbers out of the air to kind of see what sticks, like spaghetti on a wall.
Right.
And you're asking for some sort of concrete guideline for hourly and package and time and a half rates. I'm assuming that's 50%. And sometimes you look at competitors, and sometimes you do pro bono and have two different levels, and you've done all sorts of things, but you're sort of like, oh, how can I just have confidence in my rates?
Right.
So is this a question with two parts? Are we talking about how you're negotiating with the school versus how you're quoting prices to your private clients?
I guess so. Yeah. In both cases, I had a sense of what they would pay at the school. But then when the job description kept growing, I thought, ooh, where should I be in this conversation? So the actual administrator said, what are you hoping to get paid? So I told her like 10,000 more than I knew that she was going to say was her top, just because it had grown
good
so much.
Good job.
Yeah. So then she didn't really have a job description. She didn't have the thing I was supposed to be signing that day, but she didn't have it ready. She brought up all these other ideas about what they wanted me to do. So it looks like it's becoming more of a full-time job. So I'm kind of glad that there was nothing to sign, because I might have had to walk away and say, let me think about this. And then it's a similar issue is, I guess it's like what, in general, I kind of know what my time is worth given what I do, but I'm in a number of demographics now and different geographical areas. I've moved a few times. So when I know that people can afford it, I charge more. When I know they can't, I've done pro bono, but I'm looking more now to make money. So I'm just like never quite sure. And then the packages, when people know me well or they're referred, I have a sort of confidence about that, like that they're going to hire me. But then when it's just someone like cold found me on the internet, I'm like, I don't know where they're coming from. So just how do I know and not feel so like random with my chart, you know, my fees.
Right. Let me just say one thing about the job.
The school.
The school. So there's two constraints. There's time and there's the money they're paying you. And I can understand if the person or the team who's hiring you don't really have their shit together and they're sort of all over the place. Look, you could do this and you could do this.
Yeah.
A great question to ask them is like, it sounds like you have a lot of ideas for this position or a lot of things you'd like to accomplish for whoever's in this position. How would I prioritize what should be worked on first, because there will be a limited amount of my hours.
Yeah.
You throw the prioritization back on them. Who would I look to for prioritization? I have this many hours. I'll work, you know, as fast and as well as I can. So that makes them say, I'm not just going to be here doing it all.
Everything. Right. Right. Yeah. That's good. Because if they're saying 20 hours, then yeah.
Right.
What am I
doing? And it's a service to them.
Right.
For you to reflect that the scope of what they want is bigger than the position. Instead of, I'll just make it work. And then, because then you go away and they'd have to hire two people in your place.
Right. And she said, maybe we should do a fixed rate for the different projects. So then I couldn't think like on the spot, will that work for me or will they not?
Well, no, better? Because then they're hiring you as a consultant on projects versus an employee for 20 hours a week.
Right.
Because when you're a consultant, you get paid more because you're leading and completing the projects and constructing the framework for the projects.
Right.
If you're an employee, you're just like, tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Right.
Different skill set.
Right.
So just do not take that job until you are clear and satisfied.
Right.
And meaning you can say, I'd like another meeting with you.
Right.
You can ask for more meetings, not just them. Okay. Right. So then, okay. In order for your business to, what we want is for your business to run cleanly and swiftly.
Right.
With regard to prices, we want it to be clean and we want deals to be made swiftly, meaning here's my rates.
Right.
So in order for that, for any, this is for everybody listening, in order for that to be part of your business, you have to get your nose out of other people's wallets. Mm-hmm. You don't know how much money people have, how they manage their money, what other resources they have. Somebody else could be paying for this, not them. Like, you don't know. They have credit cards. They can get loans. You don't know.
Right.
Your business is to charge a rate at which, one, you won't be doing your service with resentment. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting charged enough for this.
Right.
And you won't be depleted and can't pay your rent. It's not about, your price is not about what you're worth, because you'll never get paid what you're worth. And your price is not about what they can afford. Your price is what you need to charge in order for you to afford your bills.
Right.
And if you're charging under that, it serves no one.
Mm.
So I heard you say, you know, I'm in the era of my life where I'd like to make some money.
Right.
So then you have to take your nose back out from other people's business and go, these are my prices. Mm-hmm. It's fine for you to have two tiers. I have two tiers. Mm-hmm. Anybody involved in the cash flow program gets a special rate. Not only that, but you can also book me for just an hour. Out on the outside, you have to book me for 90 minutes, which automatically makes it more. But then the price outside is also more. So anybody I coach, and I do three different groups, and in people who are part of my groups get a special rate. So I have that level that's unadvertised. And then I have my, you know, website. So, but as I said in the creating cash flow PDF of the text, your base rate, your friends and family rate, your, I know you come from a lower income rate, still has to be a rate that you're super happy to get. That's your base rate so that you're happy to get it when you're offering a discount. Right. And you can't go below there. You can't afford to go below there, especially when you're not 20.
Right.
You're not in your 20s. You need to protect your energy and you need to protect, you know, add to your retirement and, like, you know, help your daughter and all of that good stuff. Carolyn, are a professional with expertise who has been doing this quite some time and getting the results. You know that. So you set your prices accordingly. And then you stop talking. That's it. Those are my prices. And when you set new prices or raise your price or whatever, they don't feel comfortable yet. They feel weird. You're not used to those prices and you want to let the old price fly out of your mouth. If you want to increase your profits, you have to bite your tongue and maybe literally. You can't say anything. You have to let them make the decision. They can go to somebody else. You're not denying them anything because there's other college counselor people out there. You're saying, this is me. This is what I do. This is what I know I can do for you. And in order for me to take my brain off of my life and put it onto your life, you have to pay me something. Because that's what I'm doing right here with you right now. I am taking my brain off of my own stuff that I would like to do. And I'm dedicating this time to answering your question. Yeah. And that's what you're doing for other people. So do you have an idea? I mean, do you want to talk about the actual numbers or do you want to go back and think about that?
We can talk about numbers.
Yeah. So what's the lowest, like what's the lowest hourly? We'll just do hourly. What's the lowest like hourly rate that you
lowest would be hourly? I'd say 100 an hour. And then I do packages, prepaid packages of 10 hours for used to be 850. And now I'm thinking maybe 900.
Okay.
But then like last year, I did the spaghetti on the wall. Like I threw out 10 for 1250. I threw out, because I was on Zoom instead of in my office. I thought people would want to pay less, but I almost felt like they paid more.
Okay, you guys, it's not about how you deliver. It's not even how long you spend with a person. If I can give you an answer in 5 minutes that you can then go and it will change your life, you're not like, oh, well, that was not an hour. It's the value, whether I'm delivering it to you over Zoom or in person. I would never discount because I'm here on Zoom. It helps my bottom line that I don't have to commute anywhere.
Right.
That's just extra bonus. But on the other hand, I also pay the PayPal fees and the credit card charges fees, you know, that I eat those costs. Sometimes I eat the cost and sometimes I get a bonus, like not having to buy pants. Yeah. So,
and then I have a platinum unlimited package that has been 5,000 for I see you through graduation. And sometimes they come to me junior year, sometimes spring, summer of senior year. So it's only a couple of months. So for one student, I just upped it to 6 and he agreed without question. So when that happens, I think I need to charge more. But then if I charge more, the next person really like keeps chewing me down. So,
If one person can pay, if you can get one person to pay 6, chances are there's another person out there, but you have to be marketing to find the people. They're out there. And I think people, instead of building the marketing muscle, people just discount their prices, which is fine.
Yeah.
Or you can step up a little bit with marketing to find the other 6,000. And it's not even just marketing. It's just holding the energy of my platinum premium packages is this much. And my other rates are this much, period. So you just said you got somebody pay $12,500 for the 10 hours.
No, $1,250.
$1,250, right.
For the 10 hour, yeah.
So if you got somebody to pay that, that should be your new 10 hour.
Right.
So that's $125 an hour for the discounted package. So then what would your regular hourly rate be?
$150 an hour. I think for that, I just said $150 an hour, $1,250 for prepaid. So that a couple of people bought that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
funny, like I randomly will go up and down.
And that is energy that takes away from your bottom line. You're eating net profits when you're like, I have to figure out every time.
To feel so like the last customer, you know, the last client, if they didn't go for it, then I feel like a little more nervous with the next one. So I just keep going up and down.
Which is okay. course, it's okay to feel your feelings. It's okay to be like, right, oh, they take it. What does that mean about my prices? But you don't have enough data yet to tell you that your prices are way off.
Right.
And you just raised them a little. So how far off could they be?
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend who says I should charge $300 an hour like he does, but he has a very wealthy clientele. Right. I have sprinkling. I have some of them, but not. It's a mix.
Yeah.
Some working class.
And that's fine. I didn't like to organize for the celebrities.
Right.
Did a few and I was like, no, this is a whole other vibe. I don't care how much you're paying me. I liked my group of people and I priced to get them. That's totally fine. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be at the highest end. Mm-hmm. But I don't want you moving things up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
So here's what I want you to do. Do an experiment for the next 6 months. These are your prices, period. Mm-hmm. No matter who crosses your path and the universe will test you. Oh, I can't afford. What you do with people who can't afford you is you can say, well, here's another option for you. And you can send them to a service that would be less, another person who's less, you know, they're less experienced, but they definitely are lower price point. Mm. And let them decide, get out of their business. Mm-hmm. Let them decide.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because your marketing is so that people understand your value and they want to work with you. And if people want to work with you, they're more inclined to figure out how to do it. Mm. And you're not scamming anybody. You're providing an amazing service. And you have to understand that your service is to get them into a college and to help them possibly get scholarships into the college. That's a multiple tens of $1,000 investment in themselves, and they can't pay your prices.
Right.
When you're helping them get into an even bigger expenditure? No. No. Unfortunately, the college experience isn't something where you can nickel and dime. Mm-hmm. You just got to be like, this is part of it. And I want help getting into it. And you're my woman. And this is what you charge. So I'm going to find that money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So experiment holding yourself to prices so that you can experience what it's like to be comfortable. These are my prices. They'll flow right out your mouth. You stick them on your website if you want to. And it's just like, we're done. Mm.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Good, good, good. Next. Who do I see? Cricket. All right. Cashflow Tiger, Film Festival Consulting. I loved this question. Congrats on your victory, working on your upcoming Ask Me Anything and Press Material Information sessions. Progress there. Love. Okay. People want to pick your big, beautiful, gorgeous, luscious, juicy brain. And you're like, wait, I just had a 90-minute coffee session with this person who totally got free advice. And I was going to ask, said I'd make a phone call to a film company thing for them. Like, what am I doing? This is what I do for a living. Okay. The only reason I can give you guidance on this is because I have been right in your shoes where I was like, wait, what did I just do? I just literally am giving the milk away for free. So here's the thing. It's all a learning curve, but I just want you to learn once. I want you to learn each lesson the first time. So great. You've just had these experiences and you'll never have them again. So there's two things you asked. And the first thing was, you know, what do you say? Especially when friends and friends of friends and friends and friends and friends of friends ask you on, like, can I just get some advice? So here's my line. I don't have the bandwidth outside of my regular coaching hours to talk shop. But if you want to schedule something, here's the link. Like, I don't have the bandwidth right now to do business outside of my regular client hours. No explanation, no justification. You're basically saying I do business in my business hours. If you'd like to make an appointment, awesome.
So This is very interesting because I think it's also something that I get blindsided by it, where I'm already at coffee with my friend. Mm-hmm. And then,
okay, like, I'll pause you right there. Oh my gosh, I can see that you have so many questions and I would really love to dig into all of this with you, mm-hmm. but I don't have my like coach cap on right now, but I can totally, we can have an appointment where we can like, you know, do this for reals.
Okay.
You have to cut it off. You have to acknowledge, wow, you have a lot of stuff that I would love to dig in with you on.
Yeah.
So we can do that, but not here because I don't have my coaching cap on. At home.
I think that it's going to be harder than that. I feel and this woman who keeps emailing me too, like yes. She's already said she wants to hire me, but she keeps sending questions. Mm-hmm. And I feel like these are two very different situations. One is, yes, I'm already with somebody, uh-huh, and they want help and I need to figure out a way to lay out. I don't know, Christine, there's something about that language that
100% weird and awkward. It's an awkward, mm-hmm, situation. It sounds easy coming out of my mouth. That's not how I feel when I have to say it. I feel like, oh my God, I wish I wasn't in this situation, but I don't want to work right now. I thought I was just going out for coffee to get, yeah, to know people. I just don't want to work right now. I used to do it a lot. I used to do it all the time. And then I would wonder, why am I so depleted? Why am I resentful that just happened? You know, and I had to put a stop to it so that I could preserve the energy I had for that business.
I also feel like there are a couple of things that are bumping up against this. And one is, this is capitalism in general thinks that everyone should be giving things away for free, except CEOs at this point, right? Like, artists get asked to do work for free all the time. Mm-hmm. And so there's sort of a general mindset that's coming at me from other people,
mm-hmm, yes,
that is, I think they're just like, I just want to pick your brain. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that they are being disrespectful of my time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think they are conscious of it. And I don't think they're intending to it. They've been told to network and go find somebody, mm-hmm, who can answer questions, which isn't bad. The onus is on you. So here's another way to do it. So someone's like, oh my God, Cricket, you're like so smart. So I have this film, blah, 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 blah. And you just, the questions start kind of tumbling out of their mouth, or you can sense this is where this is going.
Yeah.
This is what you say. Okay. For, oh my God, I love all of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of my sessions with clients, I give everybody three questions for free. So go. I'll answer three questions for free. And okay, then answer three questions for free.
I think
you're saying to them, this is something I'm giving to you for free that I'm, mm-hmm, other people are paying for. That's another way to do it.
I think that feels more organic,
mm-hmm, good,
to me. And I know it could even be like, I can give you a 20-minute like session or for free, but
yeah, though I like that because it gives a constraint to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hold the time. Okay, we've got 2 minutes left. What's your last burning question? Yeah. Like, you hold the time, but that's fair. You're like, great, you know, I'm happy since you're a friend of Marcy's. We'll do 20 minutes for free if you want to have you know, more sessions with me after that, that's fine.
Then if you want more time, you can book a session.
But you have to hold them, whether you do, if it's three questions, it's three questions, not one question that has four parts to it. It's three questions or it's 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You hold that boundary. Mm-hmm. And from the bigger picture perspective, you're holding that boundary as a symbol of like, no, artists don't have to give it all away for free.
Yeah.
I'm being kind, but I'm also standing firm for women, all the women after me and all the women before me who were taken advantage of, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think I need to have... I need to practice.
Yes. Yes. Let me tell you, you are always going to want, you're going to have the urge to help people. You're going to have the urge to answer the questions. I still do. It's hard. I know everybody here, there's probably more questions here today than we can even get through in the time today. And I have the urge of like, oh, I could sit here, but I could sit here all night and answer questions if I was available to just answer questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time constraints. We just live in a world of constraint. Mm-hmm. So your big, wonderful heart is always going to want to, and you're the one who has to go, okay, sweetie, we have to use the heart.
Yeah.
Business times. Cause you and I are not in our 20s. Our energy, as you age, your energy gets more precious because you do have less of it. You just do. And that is something to keep in mind. It's like, this is precious energy and expertise. And I'm willing to use it when people are giving me something in exchange for it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that with the guy who took me to coffee, I think I'm just going to, after I do the phone call, because I'm going to honor my commitment.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say, if y'all want any more help with this, I'm going to need to have, you're going to need to book me.
Don't phrase it like you're going to need to, like, if you need more help, you're going to need to book me. It's like, I'd love to continue this with you as a, so if you want to be a client, it would be such fun.
Great.
I'd love for you to become one of my clients.
Right.
And then also stop going out to coffee with people.
Yeah.
But like, just sniff it out, but go out to coffee when it's you and your friends and you're going to talk about like nail polish.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. No more coffees.
No more coffees. Yeah. My sister, that was one thing my sister put her foot down. She's like, don't go to any more coffees. And I'm like, okay. She was so good. I needed her so much because she always put her foot down. And if you get an email with a question, same thing. Let's schedule time for 20 minutes. I see you have questions. I'll give you 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And if they blow past that boundary and keep emailing you more questions, then you say once, I love that you have so many questions and think I may be of good use. I would be so happy to work with you as a client. Here's the information about that and where you can set that up. And then when they email you again, you ignore their email.
Right.
When you have set the next steps and someone doesn't want to address those next steps, you ignore them. Delete.
Yeah.
If they're going to be a problem now, they're going to be a problem later.
Later. Yes. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Yes. These are good problems to have. It is meaning growth. It means people are getting to know your brain. It's all good. I have been there. Very proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Cricket, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you too.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's do Trisha.
Hi.
Trisha, hello. Hello. Okay. Cashflow Cat. I'm a life coach and a personal trainer. Yes, you are. You paid off your credit card a week and a half ago. Woo! You got your planned savings to over $10,000. Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, love that you're celebrating that. And you're having your first financial meeting with your boyfriend, so you can look at the numbers together and talk about our joint vision for the future.
Yes, that already happened this afternoon.
How'd it go?
Yeah, there was some tension. Yeah, I got, I didn't realize how riled up I would get, but I did. It was like, I was kind of territorial and I was, yeah. But at the end of it, we were like, we did it, you know? So yes. Yeah, I was just recognizing like childhood stuff and, learned patterns and stuff. Yeah.
And here's the thing, speaking as someone who's been with her partner for 33 years, dear God, I met him when I was 18. Wow. Yeah, we are really good at communicating with each other, but as new things happen in our financial life, we still have conversations that are difficult.
Yeah.
You know, so that stuff never goes away because circumstances change.
Yeah.
So the fact that you guys could go through that conversation with a high five at the end, that's success.
Thank you.
That's success. And to be with each other and for you to have this awareness, oh, look at me go. Look at all the weirdness, feelings and shit that I'm bringing to the table here. Hey, you know, and you can even say that out loud of like, oh, wow, look at me. I'm so tight on this. I don't know why, but
yeah, that's a good idea to like name it. Yeah. Cause I was doing it internally, but it would be good to say it out loud. Like, yeah.
Cause then your partner's like, oh yeah, I'm not crazy yet. Cause I was seeing that too. Or
yeah.
You saying that, you acknowledging what's going on with you allows them to acknowledge what's going on with them.
Yes.
When you each own the nonsense that you're consciously and unconsciously bringing together, it just takes the anxiety out of it. Oh, I'm so, that's a huge move. That is a huge move. Thanks. So you have someone who took your Creating a Thriving Career class at the Barrow Group Acting Studio and reached out to you for one-on-one coaching. I already have it in my head that she can't afford my rates. So what are you going to do about that? Take your nose.
Yeah.
Where are you going to put it?
Back on my side of the street. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything that I missed when I was talking with Carolyn and Cricket, because a lot of that applied, but is there any missing piece about your situation that you want me to address?
I guess, you know, I haven't really used Square before. I've always used Venmo and Zelle, and people have been able to pay me in full upfront, and that feels comfortable to me. And I know that there's like a rate, I think it's 3% or something that Square charges. So I was wondering, do I tack that on if she wants to go that route? Do I offer her a payment plan right up front, or do I just say my rate is $650 for 1 month or this for 3 months and then see what she says?
So what do you feel about payment plans? Do you want to do the rigmarole of it, or do you not want to have them? And there's no right or wrong. What do you want?
It's hard for me to sort of remove myself because I really like this person a lot. So I feel this like tug on my heart, like, oh, I really like her and I would like to work with her and I want her to not overextend herself or not feel whatever. But again, I'm having all her feelings for her, I can realize while I'm talking about it. I prefer not to have payment plans, truthfully. I love when things are like one and done, you know, we're getting started, everything's taken care of.
Because you're not, your packages aren't over $1,000, there's lists to be made on both sides of this. Because on the one hand, with you, especially considering the things we've been talking about, you getting a chunk of money at a time, for some reason, Trisha, I really feel like energetically, that's a really good thing for you to have in your business. Now, the other side of that is the whole, you know, equity and inclusion and like making things accessible for people. But here's what I have to say about that is we can't be extremely, we don't always have to be extremely literal. Like it you have to have accessibility for everyone. Well, that means different things. It doesn't only have to apply to your pricing, because you offer classes that she took, like that's at a lower price point. If you offer anything for free on social media or whatever, that's free. Like there's ways people can access you, but also you're not the only person in town. That's the other thing. It's like, if you were the only and your rates were not accessible, that might be something to consider. That's why a lot of therapists, because there's not enough therapists, and the accessibility around there, I think, is a little more needed than in the coaching world.
Yeah.
Coaching isn't a necessity. It's an extra. And coaches have to also make a living too. So she can go to other coaches. So I'm just saying that so you're not carrying any guilt about denying her something. You're not denying her anything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is how much you charge, again, because you've got stuff going on in your life, and for you to take your brain and focus it on that person, that's what you need to make it clean and swift. All up front, this much money, and we're good to go. And then with your nose out of her business, she can decide. She could get a loan. She could ask somebody else to pay for it. She could save up her money and then buy you in 2 months' time. She could put it on a credit card. Like there's also other ways for her to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's okay also to be a little bit aspirational for some people. All of us on this call have squirreled away and saved money so that we could then make that expenditure. And we had to wait. And back in the day before, you know, credit was necessarily readily available, you squirreled it away, put it on layaway, but you didn't get it until you had the money. Layaway was the opposite of credit. It's like, oh no, we'll keep it, but you keep paying us. And then eventually you'll get it. So this idea, people want everything right now. And it's like, some things you can't get right now, you know? And when you get busy and popular, it's not going to be your prices. It's going to be your available session slots that are going to be unavailable. I want to start this month. It's like, you can't, I don't have openings till July. Like, sorry.
I like that.
Yeah. So I want you just to think about all of those things, and then you can decide, okay, do a payment plan or do something special with just her, because you know her and like her. You know, it's your business. You can do whatever you want. And yeah. I'm much more interested in you setting up a payment plan than lowering your rates.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Rather that than that. Okay. And as far as like finance charges, some people add on the extra, you know, 3% that Stripe would charge. I'm just personally, I'm someone who's always just set her rates so that she could eat all that. I just eat it all myself.
Yeah.
Because I just, for me, that's cleaner and swifter.
Okay. Is Stripe is a different one. That's one you use.
Stripe.
Or Square.
Yeah. Stripe I use that, and it, you can do payment plans on Stripe.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. You just set it up and it connects with, I think, your bank account, and then it handles all the processing.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Thank you. Awesome.
Good. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. 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 I know it's really, I love that everybody here has such a big heart. It's like, I want to help people. Like, I know. Okay. We're going to, Karen Eileen.
Karen. Yes. Hello.
She is a performer who side business is speaking, hosting, coaching, using her performance skills in all different realms. And she's a cash flow cat. Okay. So two questions. Oh, but hello, the victory paragraph is dense. It's fantastic. The universe is supplying speaking and coaching work from all angles. This week, I had three new coaching jobs out of the blue. Could you just get that tattooed on you somewhere so you could just, everything of out blue. Of the blue falls into your lap.
Oh, just so nice.
The sweat is not nowhere to be seen. One was a mindset panel for entrepreneurs with disabilities. One was an improv and commercial voiceover class for actors with special needs. Yeah. That's an interesting.
That was very.
That's an interesting two things of the same ilk that we should talk about.
Yes, very. Yes, I'll be quiet until we're
done. And the last is coverage for a fellow voiceover coach who's like, hey, can you fill in for me? And you said yes. And then you sold something on eBay. And a new voice has kicked in that very calmly asks you, do you already have what you need in the house or somewhere else available to you before you purchase that? Mm-hmm. Growth. That is all evidence of you having you're shifting your energy. New voices are coming into your head. New opportunities are falling from the sky. A new little side. Hey, I can sell shit here and make some cash. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay, so question number one, with well-meaning family, what are some good words to reply to? So how's your job hunt going?
And you know, you, Christine, know the full background on these family members. So you.
They're so lovely and ask you every single day.
Well-meaning, okay. Yes.
So how have you been handling it?
By internally getting very cranky and resentful. And being a little snippy with them and putting on some weird, you know, I'm an actor. So I put on some weird, like hyper positive character, like Sally Sunshine. And so they're like, they come at me and I'm like, it's going great.
Great.
Things are moving and shaking. Well, what exactly is going on? Well, I'm getting emails and phone calls. I mean, I'm as vague and as over the top as possible. And then I leave the room. So that's not ideal.
Yeah. And it's not ideal. Because there's a lot of energy, the energy for the resentment, the energy for the snippiness, the energy for Little Miss Sunshine, the energy for over-explaining.
It's exhausting. Yep.
So I recommend two other routes that will conserve your energy over time, not right away, but in the over time, you'll spend less energy. One, I don't think this is the one that's going to work for you,
but let's hear it anyway.
You ask them not to ask you about it. You know, it'd be a big help and a big support while I work on this job hunt is if you don't ask about it. I promise I will share any good news.
That's nice language because normally it comes out as please stop asking me, which everyone gets very unhappy. Yeah.
Just say, you know, I'm working on it. But what would be most supportive is if you just don't ask and trust me that I will share any good news.
I need you to start some app called Christine's Words.
Christine says, little AI.
So I can just search it and go, what's a good thing to say here? And then it comes right up because what you just said is golden.
Yeah. So, okay. That's what I would suggest for everyone listening. That, you know, see if you can just ask the person not to ask you anymore. And that's the most, and then they probably won't.
Right.
If they slip up, you know, you can remind them like, oh, let me just ask again. The most supportive thing is if you didn't ask me.
I'll update you.
But let's just say that's not going to work. Then the other thing you do is you bore them to death.
Oh, it's going great. What's that?
It's going great. It's going great.
That's it?
Yep, it's going great.
Like watching paint dry.
Well, what have you been doing? Oh, it's going great. This will be the only answer you will ever get out of me if you ask this question and any permutation of that question. Will this feel awkward? Yes, you guys. Having new things come out of your mouth feels awkward. Making someone else feel uncomfortable feels awkward for everyone. But the on the other side of discomfort is blessed, blessed peace. You not expending all of that energy dancing around the question, trying to come up with new answers for the question. No, that's energy. Mm-hmm. It's going great. Thanks for asking. Oh, well, what have you been doing this week? Going great. Thanks for asking. Notice I'm not changing my tone. I'm not like, it's going great. Thanks for asking. You don't get snippy. That's extra energy. You have to want your energy so much that you're willing to find and stay in the neutral zone. It's great. Like thanks I for could, asking.
I feel like I could use some ferociousness around that. I don't walk around thinking like, oh, let me just throw my energy out the window. But I don't have the ferocious protection around it that I have around some other things, which is interesting.
Okay. Yeah. And what it is in the moment, you'll probably react a certain way. And then you notice, oh my God, here I go. I'm doing Little Miss Sunshine. Yeah. This is so much energy. Mm-hmm. No. And you just stop. Ugh. I'd rather, if you're going to act and use your acting skills are great. And if you're going to use them by staying in your neutral tone. It's great. Thanks for asking. It's great. Okay. It's great. Thanks for asking. If that is a good muscle to have, a nice neutral, I am immovable.
Oh man.
It's not their fault.
No.
People ask questions for all sorts of different reasons. And not half of the time, they don't even want to know the answer. They're asking because they feel awkward, or they're asking because they just want something to say. Okay. They're trying to engage. They're trying to be supportive.
Huh.
That's fine. Let them say whatever. There's nothing wrong with them asking. But here's what happens. They ask, you don't want them to ask, but you right. don't ask them not to ask. So you right. just try to appease and please and manage everybody's feelings. So nobody feels bad except you.
Oh, yuck.
You're all adults. You're yeah. all adults. Most so days. Bore, yeah. bore them to death with a lovely, pleasant, supportive. Thank you so much for asking. I'll share good news when I have it.
Okay.
Period.
I'm going to come up with a repeating sentence that I'm okay. going to use.
So then you have this interesting turn of events where it's like, oh my gosh, cash is coming in, but now I must clutch it and hold it and grip it and hold it. Use the credit card because I don't want to use the cash. And so you ask for like, what's a story?
A new one, new narrative, new story. It's very so old. I'm shocked that it's so strong. I didn't quite realize I was doing that, but I'm definitely doing that.
And you wrote also some humans, you know, only use cash. They go on like the Dave Ramsey kind of cash only plan. And you just, whatever cash you have goes in the envelopes. So when the envelopes are empty, you don't eat is the plan. Yes.
Some people do that and it works for them and they never use credit. And I don't know that that's the goal for me, but like, that's like watching. Like,
I don't necessarily.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's a method. It has its place. But I also feel that it's worthwhile to build muscles around being able to just use credit as a tool because it's a great tool, but you want to have a relationship with it that has none of the anthropomorphizing that you've been doing. So I'm going to give you a sentence and then you can sort of mutate it and tweak it to suit you. Mm-hmm. But the point you want to get to is, I can safely facilitate the flow of my cash.
Ooh.
I can safely facilitate the flow of my cash. And there's a reason I chose those words.
Yeah, I bet.
Safely. Yep. That you want to remind yourself that this is safe. I am safe doing this. It is safe. Okay. And you're the facilitator, which means you're choosing. You're not blocking the flow. You're facilitating the flow. Mm-hmm. And the facilitator's making choices, deciding how things are going to go, but you're not just blocking the flow. Okay. And it's a flow. Cash comes into your life and flows out of your life. And both of those are safe. You safely facilitate it coming in.
Both of those are safe. That's a new story. Okay.
Both of those are safe. The in and the out is safe. That's what the cash is for. Yes. When you have extra cash, you stick it away in an emergency fund. That's great. And then when that's nice and hefty, you stick it away in investments. That's great for the extra. But sometimes you don't have extra. And so it comes in and it goes out. And it comes in and that is fine.
Oh, man. Okay.
And all you have to do is facilitate the in and the out on some sort of consistency.
Yeah.
And allow it to come in every week and allow it to go out every week. As long as it's coming in or month, coming in and going out. And you monitor, like, does more need to come in? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel interested. I'm feeling the feels. I feel a little panic. It's interesting. Just feel a little panic.
Mm-hmm. That's all the feelings are there to be felt.
Yeah.
You're doing a really good job. Yeah. And you need hold your hand over your own heart, Karen Eileen, and go, I'm doing a really good job. All I did while I was caregiving for my sister the last year, which was a really hard year, I'd walk around being like, you're doing a really good job, because there was nobody else telling me I was doing a good job.
That's such a beautiful
and world. Even if I wasn't doing a good job, I needed to tell myself I was doing a good job. Sometimes I would just be like, you're doing the best that you can.
Yes.
Because sometimes that was what I was doing and it was awful, but it was the best I could muster.
I can get behind that white lie. Totally.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. You have to give it to yourself. And that love, and this is another, I learned this. This is a physical action that literally does soothe our nervous system. You wish someone was doing this to you, but you can do it to yourself. You have to give yourself what you need, even if there's nobody else to give it to you.
So I'm much calmer now. I just am
calm. Yeah, you're doing a good job and you're doing the best that you can. You're doing the best that you can. And the reason I know you're doing a good job is because you're continuing to look for ways to better the best that you can. You keep showing up, Karen Eileen.
I'm doing that.
You don't come, ask something hard, feel the feelings, and then hide for 2 weeks. You keep coming back with great candor and going, here's where I'm at now. And you're giving everyone permission to bring themselves as is to the calls.
But before I sign off, I want to say thank you also for the conversation about setting the boundary around a friend or an associate wanting to pick a brain for free. I wrote down all of those phrases again, because I love the way you craft your words and they just don't come into my brain yet. It happened to me like a week or so ago, and I was on what I thought was a coffee date. Not a coffee date,
yeah.
Informational interview. And I was like a deer in the headlights. So I'm going to use all of that.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes another phrase I use is like, oh, I'm totally happy to talk shop for like 20 minutes. And then I'd like to talk movies.
Oh, you like, give them the thing. Yeah.
You point out.
Point it.
But this is what we're talking about now is business.
I love the 20 minute chunk also feels good to me. Like when people come at me for voiceover stuff, I do offer a 20 minute Zoom chat or phone chat.
And I
set an alarm and the alarm goes off during the call. It's a pretty sound, but that's, I'm like, oh, there we go.
So
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Anu. Cashflow Tiger. Multi-hyphenate cultural organizing, consulting on strategic organizational development and community engagement, workshop facilitation, acting, writing, songwriting, gorgeous lyrics that come from the heart through actual historical events. Amazing. I have a little email in progress to you right now, but yeah, I was eating those up today. Love it. Love it. So By the time of this call, I will have just shared some songs that you wrote with a network of organizers that you're connected to. I am positive. Oh, you wrote this question last week. You sent this to me. I'm positive it will have gone tremendously well. And I'm grateful to be connected to an amazing network of people so dedicated to a movement to end poverty and other oppressions. And it feels like I'm answering the call to my higher purpose again. How did it go?
You know, I learned some things. It was very tender and very vulnerable. And it was so moving just to have the 30 or so people that come. And even though most people had their videos off, but it didn't matter because literally all of the people like were there because they love me, you know? And I mean, there were some people who I know have 10,000 other very important things going on, and they figured out to be there even for part of it. So I just got so emotional at the beginning, even before I started. I was like, wait, don't start crying now. Don't start crying now. You didn't even do anything yet. And I was like, you can't start that. I'd be like, welcome everybody. Which, I mean, they would be fine with.
Sing for you.
Oh, I have my vibrato like on high gear. And then I did it. And then I noticed one of the lessons I took away was be very intentional about who you invite in that, because I was mixing audiences a little bit. One is from the Movement Network, and there were a few other people I invited, and a couple of them are like, one's like a Grammy winning musician, and the other is like this a huge like theater. They do like awesome work for many, many years in New York. And so part of me was like, my lingo is for the movement, but then I'm like, these folk. So I was trying to take care of them in my language to not be too hardcore in my lingo. So I noticed, okay, I don't need to do that next time. Just like have it really targeted and small so that you can. But at the end, a few people were so, so sweet. One of them said, your songs are strong medicine. And then another person said, how can are you recording this? Is there somewhere online? She's the gentlest person. And she said, so more people can experience this beauty. And she's like she's an elder in the community here in LA, and just like a kind of fountain of wisdom and love, you know? Mm-hmm. So for someone like her she's just the kind of person that you want to be your best self with, you know? She invites she's so vulnerable and like gentle that you want to be like, don't mess with that. Mm-hmm. So it was great. It was great. I guess it was great. I'm like sweating talking about it. So
yeah, it was emotional and wonderful. I'm so happy that you felt very satisfied. I want to point out to everybody that Anu mentioned something that's pure mindset. You will likely have times where you're giving a workshop or you can't see the audience or you can't see them clearly, or everybody has their Zoom camera off. How you feel about that is all the stories you're telling yourself. If you tell yourself, I'm trusting that everybody is here with intention and that they are giving good vibes and that they're taking care of themselves with their camera off, and they're going to receive from this whatever they're meant to receive for today. They are taking care of themselves, and I'm going to take care of myself and present. Because so often I've given talks and, you know, there's somebody there with the arms folded and they just look like either they hate everything you're saying or they're bored to tears. And I've had so many of those people come up afterwards and be like, wow, you know, but they were thinking. Everyone has a weird resting face. My resting face looks like I'm like a little angry, not a lot, maybe a little confused, but very often people are thinking. So if you just don't judge your audience, and if you present for the one person that's there that is meant to hear this today, then you don't have to worry about anybody else. And you just do your thing for that one person. You just don't know who it is. So all these people are here, and trust that they're taking care of themselves. You take care of yourself. But that's just such an important, or you can tell yourself the opposite set of stories and get all irritated that nobody has their camera on. No, why bother? Oh, so that's so good. So your questions, you had two. Let's see. The first one, it's more mindset. I think I'm moving more towards what I want. However, I'm having doubts as to whether or not I'm being clear enough, realistic enough, or strategic enough to get there. I recently wrote a vision statement, and I'm not sure how what I'm doing right now is a good step towards that vision. It makes me question if I truly do know what I want or if I'm being honest enough with myself. I need more community support locally, and that takes time to build, and I don't feel like I'm doing enough in that area. This all feels like a core limiting belief, like I'm not enough. Am I doing the right thing? Kind of a chunk of self-doubt. It's unhelpful. It's rooted in fear. But I do think things are going really well, not just the external picture of success that you've been conditioned to value, but you really do feel. But you also feel like you have a short timeline to achieve your goals. And maybe that's not true. So what was on the vision board that you're like, oh, wait, is that even, am I moving towards that? Just in the general, you don't have to share anything you don't want to.
It was like kind of like about having a production company and doing stuff that was more rooted in like kind of a little more connected to the entertainment industry. But I haven't really been doing stuff around that. And I think I'm just like really interested in, I think I'm interested in that, but from a really different perspective. That's not how the infrastructure is set up. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of like coming at it from the grassroots, like stories from people and having good processes. And then how you figure out the outputs that make sense to support those processes, if that makes sense. I don't know. I feel like I haven't been fitting in the square or the holes that are currently within how like acting within the entertainment industry seems to be set up. Mm-hmm. But I always I love acting. I love writing, and I'm doing that. It's just more from a, you know, community based using theater, but not even within traditional theater settings either, you know?
Mm-hmm. And with the orientation of your work as it is right now, do you, and I'm asking you this question, do you feel like you're hiding from the entertainment industry? Like, oh, I can't go there yet. Or do you feel like, no, this is where what I'm feeling called to do right now, genuinely?
I feel like it's probably a mixture of both. Okay. I feel like historically I've kind of been really intimidated. Even within theater, I'm like, I don't want to audition. Like my partner's always like, man, for someone who like never auditions, you get a lot of roles like in theater. Like I'll be like, I'm going to perform my shows and invite people. And then they, you know, but I don't want to work with people unless I know the script and I know the folks and I know the, you know, like it's just very rooted in some maybe early fears, I guess, or control. Mm-hmm. But also like, I want to be a part of stuff that uplifts the human spirit, and you don't always have a say in what you're invited to be a part of, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you have a say in whether or not you do it. So anyway, but so yes and yes to okay. both.
And then what is something that is connected, that would connect you to the entertainment industry in however you're envisioning that you know you're not doing right now, but you're like, oh, I should do that because it connects me more towards the entertainment, but I'm not doing it.
I feel like something like how I kind of think about or create or like have a plan for content that on social media that would then show, you know, sometimes those act as auditions or like keep people in mind, you know? So that's, yeah. That's one, being able to showcase like my writing and, you know, acting, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. Yeah. But I think I'm more interested in how can I use that as a way to play in a open space, like collaborative space with other folks within the movement and other artists and cultural workers to kind of like make, if I think of it more as a calling card or like kind of calling out to your people. So of more people you can play with and connect with.
Okay. I'm making a note here. Hold on.
And I think there's some place that it's like, some limiting belief, like I don't believe that within that industry, that there's room for what I'm excited about and interested and passionate about. Like how do you really back a movement to end poverty in like a multi-billion-dollar movie industry? I'm sure people figure out what you can figure out within all of those things.
And I don't think it also has to be so literal and linear. Like I want to be inside the entertainment industry, ending poverty. It's like, or you could be doing something inside the entertainment industry that raises your profile and gives you the means to then shine a spotlight and financially support this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying selling out. I'm just saying doing other people's projects that then gives you the platform to do your own stuff. So have you made a list of people that you see working in the industry that are also doing the kind of like, whoa, work that you admire? Like, can you point to anybody who's like, ooh, they're doing some stuff?
Yeah, I guess like people that seem to be doing pieces, maybe not like someone who kind of fits like it all together, I guess. Mm-hmm. But people that I kind of appreciate what they're doing with their platform, and then people who in the content that they're creating touch upon in some manner issues and seem like they build a really good team and are thoughtful,
I would love for you to make two lists. A list of people whose work inside the industry touches on and promotes the themes that you are interested in contributing to. And then a list of people who are using their platform that they've created inside the industry for the same sort of things that you are interested in supporting. Because I want you to see that there are people doing this, because these are your people. These are the people you would love to meet and hopefully one day collaborate with. And I think it's good for you to have that, you know, take an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, write it down and stick it on a wall so that you can be like, this exists and I would like to be a part of it and push it a little further.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's your job. You're going to be one of the people who push it further. These folks have at least gotten it to there hard, you know, quick, like sloggy mud. And hopefully by the time you get up there, the mud will be a little thinner and it'll be easier to move through it. So you can push things a little farther. But one of the people who comes to mind is like Questlove. Like he's Jimmy Fallon's band people. He's just playing things while people give celebrity interviews and do silly little sketches, and he does the music, but he had a platform. And then what did he do with it? He was like, oh, well, let me shine a light on something that was squashed in terms of our history and bring, you know, the Soul movie to life, Summer of Soul.
Yeah. Was,
you know, and it's like, okay, well, that sounds like somebody kind of up your alley in terms of like, let's raise voices that are not being heard. So I want you to have these people, because I want you to believe that this is already going on and you have a place to join in and push farther. So then I think that the thing you can do right this second towards your vision board is start using your muscle to share what you do. I want you to fuse those two words together. I want you to connect them with synapses in your brain. Do, share, do, share. You do. The past forever for you is doing, 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 once in a while sharing, doing, 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 doing. But even the fact that you emailed me about the thing that you were doing on Friday, was you sharing that with me? How else would I have like been able to wrap my brain around you and your texture and what you're into and that stuff. When you do something, you just have to say, I do not do unless I also share. I do not do unless I also share.
Yeah.
I do, and I tell people about it. I do, and I show them a little clip. I do, and I share. I share, I share, I share, because I think you are right. You said this, and I agree. You're raising your own visibility right now is directly on the path to that vision board. Because being in the entertainment industry as an artist requires visibility. So get used to it. It's time to get used to it now. Because then you're telling the universe, I'm willing to get used to this because I know it's an asset to have it. So I'm going to do it. You keep, hey, universe, here's how we're going to break down the work. You keep giving me grants and opportunities and stuff to do. I will do it. And I promise to share it. That's my end of the bargain.
Yeah.
And then they see you sharing it and they give you more doing. That's bigger. They connect you with some of these people on your list randomly. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then you meet the person and you have something to say. I made a list 3 years ago and you were number 7 on the column on the left. And that is totally, oh, what was the list about? It was people in the thing and I've been watching you. And who doesn't want to be on someone's list on their bedroom wall? I do. That would be awesome. I love it when people are like, oh, I hear your voice in my head. I'm like, yes, I live in someone's head. That's so cool. Who isn't flattered by that? Or yes. You're on my wall. You know, you have people who are like, oh my God, your poster was on my wall when I was growing up. It's like, that's so cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Do share. Yeah. That's your agreement with the universe. I think your vision board makes 100% sense. You don't have to know how you're going to get there. You don't have to know what that's going to look like. You don't have to know whether you're going to be a person who is doing projects touching on the themes, or you just get a random thing that catapults you up to having a platform and then you shine your spotlight. Mm-hmm. But visibility is what's going to let other people know, oh, Anu, she's one of our right people. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're already at the table. You're already been in rooms where it happens. You already are comfortable enough in that situation. You being in the entertainment is just being in slightly different, slightly bigger rooms. Mm-hmm. It's not like you've never been in those rooms before though. So you're like prepared. So you already are comfortable. You already are a doer and a creator. The piece that you're missing is visibility. So that's your next frontier. Okay. Mm-hmm. Start on your social media and then start looking at other people's platforms that you can go get interviewed on, or you could write for, or you could get mentioned in. You don't always have to just build your platform. Other people've got platforms that they can, but if you got to give them stuff to share too. Okay. And then you said, let's see, what was the other one? I will likely have to take some work that I don't want to in order to continue pursuing my goals. I want to maximize the profit, but minimize the hassle. I'm always for that. It has been a difficult journey, and I recently have closed out a major project that brought most of my income in. I'm not looking forward to having to think about this question of clients and will I need to address this. And we'll need to address this probably starting in June as to how you will be getting work. So what about that grant, that $18,000
grant? Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got about that. Yeah. I need to portion it out about what portion I'll have for myself.
Can you get that? Is the money in your bank account?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're like, what's your question?
issue? And how much of that did we, meaning me,
you said at least half of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if that's okay. The case, then I have a few more months actually to.
Can you go, please?
Like, I could probably, yeah.
Yes, could you like please fall. Go do that? Can you please live off that grant money and make something?
Yes. For
a little, make something, you know, as we talked about, using half of the money for everything, including paying you.
Yeah.
Out of your directing or whatever you're going to do for the project.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Go away. You have money. This is a big, here's the thing. Yes. Will you need to get money after that? Yes. Yeah. But can you please try to enjoy the experience of having money and using it? And like Karen Eileen, we were talking about letting it has flowed in, and you are now going to have it flow out. And part of it's going to pay your rent and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your thing right now. That is the project of building your muscles right now. Then in end of July, we can have another discussion about how you're going to make more money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Can those two other grants you got be applied to this project, or do those have to be separate projects?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
500 and the thousand. Yeah. Yeah. What?
The 500 I already have used, and the 5,000 I in my mind have thought about what it can go to, like some health stuff or whatever.
Does that 5,000 have the 5,000 have restrictions on how you have to use it?
Zero restrictions.
So then how much of that is your money?
It's all.
No, but how much of it is going towards your rent?
Well, it was something my partner and I were going to talk about, because there's some needed dental work that needs to happen.
The answer is half of it.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You get a grant. Half of it is to give you the space to do the project. And if you budget the project at half of the grant, because all you're looking for is the impact of the project, not the bells and whistles. And if you can rent lasers, just don't rent lasers.
Right. Yeah. Buzz
it down far.
Right. Yeah. Well, what did you say about the bells and
whistles? Joke. If you don't rent lasers, then your budget gets a lot smaller.
That's true.
A project that doesn't need lasers. That's how I want, because you need the money in order to spend your weeks doing the project, hiring people, coordinating things. That's what they're giving you the money for.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you have half of that. So now you have 9,000 plus 2,500. And you've got to pay tax on that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, you got to figure that all that out. Okay. But that's your livelihood.
Yeah.
For the next, like, what, 2.5 months?
Yeah.
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 So go be lively. Don't all come back until you have to, you know, we'll talk about getting a job or something or whatever.
Okay.
Okay. Go do a project.
Really?
Yes.
Go don't, do show, don't come back till I.
What do you need me for?
No, you're right. You're right.
Literally, I'm you're not right. joking. What do you need this for? You just created a bunch of cash that you now need to go spend. Yeah.
So go do it.
Yes. Go do it. Come
Get
back
out of here.
In 2.5 to 3 months, mm-hmm. we'll talk some more.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Great.
Okay. Because now then you have the time that you would spend here, spend it on other things.
Yeah.
You tiger. Right. Go, cash flow tiger.
Ready.
Okay. I know you are. Okay. Thanks, so Christine, we won't see awesome. You. We can all say goodbye to her for a while. was there anybody else who has a question now who's here? And if not, I will answer some of the questions that I received from people who are not here. Okay. So let me see.
Oh, it looks like Helen raised her hand.
Oh, Helen. Yes. Helen. Hello. Thank you, Anu. Hey.
Hi, sorry. I had you in my ears and was across the apartment and like sprinted back to my desk. Yes, thank you for offering this space because I was kicking myself for not submitting anything. Per usual, I'm showing up as is. I don't have a perfectly formed question. Somewhat of an update, but I would love your brain on it.
By the way, Helen,
I applied.
Let me just stop you. So far, the pattern has been everything's worked out absolutely okay when you haven't had a perfectly formed question. Is that correct?
That's true.
Excellent. Yes, that's true. You and I, we work well together. Don't worry about it. You never have to do that preface ever again.
Okay, great.
Great.
We're done. Yeah. I applied for a full-time job this week. And I got a nice response back. I don't know if I'm going to have an interview. So I applied Wednesday evening. I got a response back Thursday morning saying, thank you for the sweet letter. Because I can give you the details, but, I had met the woman that I would be the assistant to, on a shoot like a year ago. But I'm emailing with someone else in our company. And I just like at the end of it was like, if nothing else, like thank her for this one thing that she did when she posted about the shoot. It was really kind. And they were like, oh my God, that's so sweet. I'll happily pass that along. It'll make her day. They said they're reviewing resumes the rest of the week and we'll be in touch, if it's a right fit. So it's possible that they've reviewed and I didn't get an interview. It's possible that interviews won't come out until next week. So I'm not entirely sure. But I've found myself having, I'm both so proud that I did it because I saw the thing on stories Wednesday morning and I had it to them. I had the application to them by Wednesday night at before 7. Nice. And I wrote a great letter and, you know, zhuzhed my resume. And whether or not I get an interview, I feel like is based mostly on how they're choosing to hire, you know, some, if they're looking for like a social media assistant. And I have followed this woman's social media for a year and I'm like, I understand what she does. And that is a skill that I want to, that I am working on and actively trying to learn about. And one of the things I said was like, you want to learn about the ins and outs of influencer marketing. Which I then said back in the email. Nice. So if they're looking for someone who's like good vibes and wants to learn, great. If they're looking for someone who has, you know, 5 years of experience, that's not me. So I'm very, one, I think I just want to, I want to celebrate the win. And two, yes. I want to talk about how also immediately, since now I'm in this slight limbo of like, I'm not sure if I have an interview. There's a part of me that's like making peace with not getting it. And I'm totally fine not getting it. I think it is throwing me for a loop. The idea of committing to a full-time job is a little scary. I mean, this year with all the strike business, it is probably a good year to have a full-time job as an actor. And they have the possibility to say part-time, to do part-time. So I said I was interested in full-time, possibly to transition to part-time. If for some reason I do get it and they offered it to me, I could also take part-time. I don't know. I've just in my entire career operated under like a part-time gig that is super duper, or several part-time gigs that are super duper or duper flexible, or like gig work, freelance work. Mm-hmm. I've been doing all freelance the past year. It is exciting and scary to be faced with like, oh, maybe I am trying to do the more structured full-time job thing. I think a question that I do have is, I have a former roommate who works in social media. She's like, she works for the various studios and the social media for various shows. I could totally take her out to lunch and, oh no, pick her brain or ask her if she has a consult fee. And I'm wondering if I need to like scramble to do that before a potential interview so that I can, if I do get an interview, come in swinging with ideas. Like if I get this interview, I don't want to just be like, I'm fun to work with, I want to be able to speak, you know, I can do some research and I have, I think I probably know more than I think I know just from absorbing this woman's content, her company's content, and just being a person who, you know, likes the internet. So I'm wondering how much to prep, like how much like full steam ahead I should prep for this interview. Should I get it? Words of wisdom around mindset around full-time job after never doing that.
Yeah.
Some of it's remote, so that's good at least. I have some fear around around working for someone that I don't know if they're ultimately going to be good to work with. She was lovely on that one day of the shoot and she presents herself like a lovely, charming person online. But what if she's a tyrant, you know, behind the scenes?
Right.
Okay. I have some fear on that.
Let me address the one thing first. So, and we'll get to that part too. I wrote that down too. Okay. So chances are if they call you in for another meeting, you'll at least have 24 hours notice, I'm assuming.
I hope.
So
I don't know.
I would, if I were in your shoes, I would probably just be like, okay, I'm going to cram my research for when I know for sure I have, because I'm just not going to spend any extra time unless I have the interview. You could contact your friend. This is for everyone. A great way when you do want to pick somebody's brain is say, hey, can I buy 30 minutes of your time? I have like 4 questions. And then the person can go, sure, or, oh, let's just hop on a call. Let them say they don't want money. And then if they do want money, great. I've done that. That's one of the most useful things. If you can afford to buy somebody's time, most people will be like, sure, heck yeah, I'll answer all the questions you want. I'll give you, you just get so much information, you know, especially if people don't do it as a coach or it's like, sure. Yeah. And then a lot of times people are like, oh no, it's fine. Let's just, so that's how you would ask her, but you might say, or what's your schedule like this week? Like if I could buy 30 minutes of your time, is that something we could do this week on late notice? Like if I get 24, just to see, and just, if you can put her on hold, don't have to pay her, but like put her on hold and then wait. So that's how I'd play that. And because I think it's good if you have stuff that you can say, like, I see you're trying to do this. This is how I'm, you know, could enhance that. Or this is what I've seen you do. I really like that. You know, what are your goals for your thing? Do you see it changing or is this a continuation of what you already have? All that sort of stuff. But you can do that in a couple hours.
In 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So then the full-time job. What if it's horrible? I mean, full-time, part-time, that's always the question. Like, oh, it looks good on paper, but we have no idea until you get there what it's going to feel like and actually be like. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact of life. So what are your fears? Okay. Not she might turn out to be horrible to work with, but what's the fear? Because you can leave. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the fear?
I don't have a track record of leaving terrible people is the issue.
Ah.
So I think it would have to be, I have some experience. I have done the thing where I applied for a job. I did the training thing and was like, nope, not for me. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I have no evidence of that, but I have a big pile of staying, evidence about staying. So okay. I think the fear ultimately is being stuck, even though that's not true.
Keeping yourself stuck. I'm afraid because I don't have the muscles built around this, that I will stay longer. I will stay past a few red flags.
Yeah.
So what could you put in place that would prevent you from doing that to you?
Well, I'll be honest. I think the fact that the writer strike is probably going to stretch for a while, and it's quite possible that SAG will go on strike, and like, I can kind of think of 2023 as a wash, you know, like maybe stuff will pick back up and there'll be a push in the fall, but like it's also possible that 2023 is just going to be kind of a nightmare. And then 2024. So like I can go like maybe, and it wouldn't start till July. So I'm like 6 months. I could do 6 months because it's a weird year and it's not like I would be missing a ton potentially with, you know, auditioning and coaching and whatnot.
Okay.
So, but I recognize, but that's also external.
That's fine.
Internal.
But I like that you, one thing you can do, and this is for everyone, you can set either a time limit of like, if it's a shit show, I'm not staying longer than this. Mm-hmm. Another way you can do it is I'm going to give this 6 weeks. And then if I don't like it, I'm out. So one red flag in the 6 weeks or 30 red flags in the 6 weeks, I'll evaluate and leave.
Yeah.
Another way you can do it is get a friend, because you and Vivian, right? You guys are, what's her name?
No,
her face, but.
Wow. Lydia.
Lydia. That's it. Yes. You could say to Lydia, okay, I'm going to report to you every red flag of this experience.
Yeah.
Oh, they asked me to stay like an extra hour and the, like this, every little red flag, and she shall write them all down. Mm-hmm. And she'll be like, this doesn't sound great. Like when she gets to where it's like, this is four red flags and or that's one red flag, but it's major. Like get somebody else to be the sounding board who's stronger at it than you. I'm not saying she is. Yeah. So find someone who will be honest and direct, so you're like, great. I don't have to worry about me because I'm just going to report every single red flag and they're going to tell me when it starts to smell toxic.
You can
have a discussion about it. That's what I mean about you not letting you sabotage you. Yeah. Put external stuff in place. Tripwires.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And we never know the future. So it could be great. It could be great that you get the show. It could be amazing. It could be full time and never actually interfere with your acting. Because they love you so much that they're like willing to bend over backwards.
Yeah. Maybe.
Don't worry about it until the bridge is actually there to be crossed of like, ooh, okay, what am I gonna? Because you have places like this to come back and ask these kind of questions to too. So it's like, if it starts to smell a little weird, come back. I'll tell you what I think, you know? So you've got enough pieces in place where you're not going to like fall into this quicksand mud. Yeah. And this could be one of the most amazing years of your work life in 2023. So please don't declare it a wash. It's just like, this is going to be different. Yeah. So you talk about 2023 as like, just like 2020. Well, this is going to be a different year.
Mm-hmm.
It's always. Mm-hmm. So it's okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
start looking for more jobs. So, so for everyone listening, this is what just happened. An opportunity came. She applied for it. Helen has made a plan. Okay, if I get a second interview, I'll do my research. I'm going to see if my friend will be on hold for me and if she's going to charge so I can like apportion that money out. And then I'm not going to worry about things I can't predict right now. I'm just going to go into this. I'm going to set up my little trip wires so I can just go into the job knowing I won't stay longer than I should. So I don't have to worry. And instead of waiting and being like, oh, I hope I get a second interview, go find another position to apply for. Yeah. Just on to the next, just like in acting. Okay. Did that audition, on to the next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what's really great to bring into an interview is the energy of like, oh, I'm making all my shit happen, whether it's this or something else. Like I'm happy to make this happen, but I don't need it to.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's a good question. Thank you. Thank you. And yes. So that's it. That's it for today, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for hanging past our time. So good to see you.
Thanks, everyone.
Hugs. Thanks, Christine.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.